ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय A very long verse. So reading from the Canto 5, chapter 17, and today's text is 3. Tadaha satta rasayastatta prabhava vigyayam nanu tapasa atyantikai siddhi tavati bhagavati sarvatmani vasudeve nuparata bhakti yoga लाभेनैव क्षित्यान्यार्थात्मा गतयो मुक्तिम् इवागतं मुमुक्षव इव शापभूमानम् अद्यापि जतजूतैर्उद्वहन्ति ततः सप्तऋषयः द सेवन ग्रेट सेजेस Beginning with Marichi, Tat Prabhava Avigya, who knew very well the influence of the Ganges River. Yam, this Ganges water, Nanu, indeed, Tapasaha, of our austerities, Atyantiki, the ultimate. Siddhi, perfection, etavati, this much, bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sarvatmani, in the all-pervading, vasudeve, Krishna, anuparata, continuous, bhakti yoga, of the mystic process of devotional service. Lavena, simply by achieving this platform. Eva, certainly, upekshita, neglected, anya, other, artha atmagataya, all other means of perfection. Namely, religion, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. Muktim, liberation from material bondage. Eva, like. Agatam, obtained. Mumukshava, person desiring liberation. Eva, like. Shabahumanam, with great honor, Adyapi, even now, Jatajutai, with matted locks of hair, Udvanti, they carry. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The seven great sages, Marichi, Vasishtha, Atri, and so on, reside on the planet beneath Dhruvaloka. While aware of the influence of the water of the Ganges to this day, they keep Ganges water on the tufts of hair on their heads. They have concluded that this is the ultimate wealth, the perfection of all austerities, and the best means of persecuting transcendental life. Having obtained uninterrupted devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they neglect all other beneficial processes like religion, economic development, sense gratification, and even merging into the Supreme. Just as Ganis think that merging into the existence of the Lord is the highest truth, these seven exalted personalities accept devotional service as the perfection of life. Purport. Transcendentalists are divided into two primary groups, the Nirvisheshavadis or impersonalists and the Bhaktas or devotees. The impersonalists do not accept spiritual varieties of life. They want to merge in the existence of the Supreme Lord in His Brahman future, the Brahmajyoti. The devotees, however, desire to take part in the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. In the upper planetary system, the topmost planet is Dhruvaloka. And beneath Dhruvaloka are the seven planets occupied by the great sages, beginning with Marichi, Vasishtha, and Atri. All these sages regard devotional service as the highest perfection of life. Therefore, they all carry the holy water of the Ganges on their heads. This verse proves that for one who has achieved the platform of devotional service, nothing else is important, even so-called liberation. Kaivalya. Srila Sridhar Swami states that only by achieving pure devotional service of the Lord can one give up all other engagements as insignificant. Prabodhananda Sarasati confirms his statement as follows. Kaivalya narakaya tridasa purakasa puspayate durdanta driya kalasa papatali prathkata damstrayate vishwam purna sukhayate vidhi mahendradischa kitayate yat karunya kataksha vaibhavatam tam gauramevastumaha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his perfectly enunciated and broadcast the process of Bhakti Yoga. Consequently, for one who has taken shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the highest perfection of the Mayavadis, Kaivalya, or becoming one with the Supreme, is considered hellish, to say nothing of the Karmis' aspiration to be promoted to the heavenly planets. Devotees consider such goals to be worthless, phantasmagoria. There are also yogis who try to control their senses, but they can never succeed without coming to the stage of devotional service. The senses are compared to poisonous snakes. Remember, huh? The senses are compared to poisonous snakes, but the senses of a bhakti yogi, bhakta, engaged in the service of the Lord, are like snakes with their poisonous fangs removed. Though the yogis try to suppress his senses, but even great mystics like Vishwamitra fail in the attempts. Vishwamitra was conquered by his senses when he was captivated by Menaka during his meditation. She later gave birth to Shakuntala, the wisest person in the world. Therefore, are the bhakti yogis, as Lord Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita 6:47, Yogi nam api sarvesham madgate antaratmanaha shraddhavam bhajate yomam shame yukta tamomataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all.
Gauravani Pracharane Nivishesha Sanyavadi Ashatha Deshatharane.
Description of the Ganges, river Ganges. There are different rivers, many rivers. Ganges is the most auspicious, considered to be most auspicious, because Ganges washes the holy lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Actually, Ganges water is considered to be like the Charamita. That's why Ganges water washed the feet of Lord Vishnu. is coming from the spiritual world. So Ganges is this very, very auspicious river, holy river. And even today in Mayapur and places that Ganges flow through in India, it's considered very, very auspicious river. People come from all over India to take bath in it. And they say that they come and dump their sin in the Ganges, because Ganges water is very powerful. It can absorb all your karma and your sins, and by taking bath in the Ganges river. It's a very auspicious river, and it's flowing through the mountains in the Himalayas. And it's mentioned that actually Lord Shiva was carrying Ganges in his head, so powerful. And because she was being so forceful coming down, and so Lord Shiva had to contain her and keeping Ganges in his head, locks of her hair. Of course, he released it, and it was coming down so powerfully, and it was coming down through that Mayapur, that place known as Bhagirathi. So it's also is the reason for Ganges to come down to purify the sages, sons, their ashes. So that's why even today, people that they die, they release the ashes of their body into the Ganges, so the soul can be liberated. So the next point here is mentioned that the devotees, explaining devotional service, the devotees, they are not interested in liberation or economic development, because even in taking the bath in Ganges River, our idea of taking bath in the river of the Ganges, because to purify so we can serve Krishna, so we have clean body. Just like we use Gangecha, Jamunecha, Kadavari, Sarasati, Narmadesha, Indukaveri, Chalashmin, Sanidhyukuru. We purify that water in the Achaman cup. Nowadays we are using, we're using the hand sanitizer, not the Achaman cup anymore. So actually the purification process is to use Ganges water. And people don't believe that the Ganges water has that purity. They say, oh, dead bodies flowing, the Westerners and the scientists, they say it's the most dirty water. And they can't understand why people in India, they drink it and they take bath in it. It's actually, if the water is flowing, any water that's flowing, even is non-Ganges water, it's very clean, because it washes away all the dirt, it's flowing. But, of course, it says in the, what is that, next instruction? Kangang Bhasu Nakala Budput Fena Fankai, that when you look at the Ganges, it looks like Fena. Fena Fankar, that there's foam and mud on top of the Ganges, but actually speaking, it has the purity, it can purify. It's very, Rupa Goswami said, it's a very pure one. So when you see things, we think, oh, this is very dirty, but actually very pure. And just like Prabhupada also gives the example of the cow dung. Cow dung, is very pure, considered. Compared to Vedic scriptures, we use the cow dung to clean the wall, because it has a very antiseptic. It can wash away and kill the germ. They use, especially in Bengal, many places in India, they use to do lepalepi. They call it Bengal lepalepi. They mix with cow dung and the mud with water, and then have a cloth. They wipe the ground and the walls. But the ground has to be made out of wood, of mud, not marble floor. So it can kill the germ. So Prabhupada, people say, how can this cow dung is a waste of animal? It's considered very not good. It's dirty. It's stool of an animal. So then, but they experimented the cow dung. It's antiseptic. So similarly, what we consider, we have to accept the Shastra as the evidence, as the proof, as the authority. If you accept the scientists and human beings, that's why in India they always say, huh, He says so many things. Can you prove it? Can you quote a verse from the scriptures? Because they believe the scripture is the authority. So scripture says, what scripture says, we accept it. And some people say, oh no, I don't accept the scriptures, because they don't believe in God. So they don't accept the authority as any authority. They think they're the authority. So they think the proof is seeing. Seeing is believing. But so many things you can't see. I can't see my hair and my head. It's above my head, now I can't see it. I can't see behind the wall. I can't see the air. I didn't see my grandfather. So many things you can't see, but we are saying, oh. So what is the proof? Proof is realness. It's like you take a compass or GPS. That's the proof that it's telling you. Can you tell the GPS, oh, I don't listen to you, I make my own? Then you'll be lost. So similarly, the scriptures are the proof that's written by Vyasadeva. So going back to the point of the Ganges. Ganges water is pure. Even today, in India, they have government water. They supply to the people. Certain time the water is coming down. But it's not as clean as the Ganges water. Because, like I said, the Ganges water, if you take the water from the middle of the Ganges, put in a bucket or in a jar, all the mud will settle. And you drink that water, so clean. You won't get sick. In Mayapur, they're delivering the Ganges water to the grihastha's houses like filtered water. Not the water from anywhere. And they use that water to worship Radha Madhava. And in Vrindavan, Yamuna water. Some devotees, they go to India, they take their water tablet. They're throwing it in even in the Ganges water. That's actually very offensive. You can do that in normal water. But when I go to India, I don't drink any water. Not even Ganges water. I drink coconut. But actually, in Mayapur, vegetables, coconut water, tarbuj, watermelon, that's actually all converted water from the Ganges, from the ground. It's collected and goes into the fruits and veggies. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, I don't want to eat any vegetables bringing from Calcutta. I only want to eat vegetables grown in Mayapur, because it's holy. He used to consider Calcutta a hellish place. Srila Prabhupada was born there, so it's very spiritual. And so Ganges water is very, very pure. So what we would do, sometimes we'd go in the middle of the Ganges on a boat and collect the water and drink. Not from the side, because sometimes the side is not moving, the water is stagnant. So even the sages here mentioned, they were carrying in their head the water. Because the yogis, they're able to travel in the water. It's mentioned Kumbh Mela. You heard of Kumbh Mela, right? They have millions and millions of people. I went there twice. Luckily, the first time I went to Kumbh Mela was 1977. Srila Prabhupada was there. So it's mentioned that Kumbh Mela is a place the sages come. You can't see them. They come in their mystic city. They have a power to go there without people can see, without invincibly. So they take bath in the Ganges, different places at a different time according to when the time is appropriate, auspicious time. So they would go to here and there, take a 3-day. Even today I've seen very elderly people, Indian, they their nose like that or like this, and they boom, boom, 3 times. They deep themselves. That's very respectful to the river. And then when I first saw the Westerners came to Mayapur, they were diving and jumping. And so they said, stop, that's not the way, you're not respecting the Ganges. So they said, yeah, first you need to go to the Ganges, pay your obeisances. You know, there's a verse, Siddhache, Saha, touch the water 3 times on your head, and then jump in. So we were doing that. So we would go there, all the Gurukul boys would line up on the side of the Ganges, fold our hands, and we would say these prayers. Ganges to the Ganges. And then touch the water to the head 3 times, and I'll jump in. And cover in mud. And we take the mud from the Ganges and put it all around us. They say that the mud in the Ganges, if you make a brick out of the Ganges water, mud in Mayapur, that brick, you make a building out of that, that building can last for 1,000 years. If you don't believe or not, they proved it scientifically. They took the mud and experimented. It's very tough. So we take that mud, sometimes there's sand. So you have to go to where there's muddy area. That's why when you're taking bath in the Ganges, if you're not careful, you can get stuck in the mud. There are areas, underground is muddy, very muddy. So you get stuck in the mud, then even if you're a good swimmer, you can't swim. And then the water comes and current of the water will take you away. So never touch the ground so much, only unless you are on the shore of the Ganges. So I remember, we were little kids, we were expert swimmers in the Ganges because we grew up there. And when there's a flood, the Ganges water, they say, the Ganges would expand its river. So all the water from the Ganges would come all the way into the Mayapur area. 1978, the Ganges water came all the way into the temple. So we were jumping from the long building into the Ganges. We didn't have to go to the Ganges, it was right there. We had so much fun. So the water of the Ganges is on the first level of the long building. Can you imagine that? And that time, Radha Madhava was a small Radha Madhava before the big Didi. So they took the small Radha Madhava. We were having Mangalarati on the first floor of the larger building. And then I heard they had a big one somewhere in the 80s, late 80s. And the water came, and Nishingadev, I was up to neck here. They said the Ganges come to touch the feet of the Lord for mercy. But it's not good for our economy, because all the buildings gets all muddy, they have to paint, all the plants are dead. But so Ganges is actually pure devotee of Krishna. She is carrying Lord Krishna. She is very pure. And I remember, we were taking bath in the Ganges. Every day we would go to the Ganges and we play, we do soccer on the island, do all those things. And one day, so I dived in, and that area was shallow water. You know, you can kill yourself. So I was so pain here. So my side of my neck was blocked. It got hurt so badly, I couldn't move. For 2 days I couldn't move, so I had to take me to Calcutta. They took me to Calcutta. And then the doctor just went like this, and I was okay. But we didn't know how to do that. We needed a specialist. So I was thinking, look, the Ganges Mata protected me. Because I had a lot of respect for Ganges, but that they were diving in. So Ganges is such a beautiful water. And another story, once we had a boat called Nitapada Kamala. You heard of that? If you read Hari Shripur's diary, you'll know the story. We bought small Gornitai there in the front of the Mayapur. If you go in the hut, the small ones, they came from Ekachakra. I also went there in 76. It was so tough to go to Ekachakra at that time. I think it took us 5 hours to drive there. The road was so bad. So we ordered to make special Gornitai Didi to go on the Nitapada Kamala boat, to travel on the Ganges River. So Srila Prabhupada installed those Didi on the boat. And the boat was at the Hulur Ghat. If you go towards Navadip, you have to take a boat to get across. This is called the Ghat, Hulur Ghat. So the boat was there, and we had a procession from Mayapur. We took Gornitai Didi and a palm queen. Prabhupada was walking all the way. And then he came on the boat. And all the Western devotees and some Gurukul boys, we sailed off. Big sail, like, and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, they write it in Bengali. And I was on the boat. So we are going to go to Sundarban. Sundarban is a protected area, West Bengal, where the Ganges gets all delta, all gets broken up into small rivers. It was so tough, because once the boat was getting into close to Calcutta, there was waves of the Ganges. And it was going up and down. It's like those things they have from here to Tasmania. They have the, what do you call that? The America's Cup. You know, the sailing. And so it was so tough. So everyone had to go up. And we'll go that way, go up. And I was throwing up. So I had to get up in Calcutta and come back to Mayapur. So they went all the way to... So what they were doing, they would get Gornitai Didi on the palanquin and go to village and do kirtan. And they would go to every house, and every house had to buy one magazine. Otherwise they wouldn't leave. They used to keep doing kirtan. So they would stay in a house and they do kirtan. They were foreign devotees, so, and some Bengalis. And so they would come out, it was 2 rupees. That was 1976-77. Very cheap, right? 2 rupees. Now maybe Bhakti Gaurav magazine, maybe much more. They call it Bhagavad Darshan. So, and then what they do, we put the Gornitai Didis in the boat, and I had a stairs connecting from the land to the boat. So we'd have all day, people would come and have darshan of the deity, like the temple. And then somebody would be giving charanamrita. And some ghosh, they call it ghosh, is milk people. They would bring milk, farm milk, and paneer for the deity. And in village in India, they would give you donations, not just money, but like in the form of vegetables, rice, grains. So we had so much rice, so much grains, ghee, milk, every day. We're having feast. In fact, we didn't have to buy anything. And we parked the deity on the Ganges. And then we go to the next village. So they went to Sundarban. Sundarban is a protected area. They have tigers. Royal Bengal tigers. They live there. So we had the boat there and they would go village to village. And so I got off. Then I went to Sundarban on a boat. We had to take a speedboat from Diamond Harbor, is a place called. And I went there to have a look with Bhavananda. He took me there. So then they were doing kirtan house to house. It was so amazing. And so one day I said I had to go to the toilet. But if you're on a boat, it's like you only have to go to the in the forest. There's no toilet on the boat. So it's kind of offensive because you have to wash your body in the Ganges. But that's how it was. And when I was picking up the water to clean myself, there was electric in the water. And there was, I was getting shock. And there's this sparkling of light. It was at night time. They said that area, the water has, I don't know, something. It's electrical. And then they said they have tigers in the water, I mean that area, so you have to be careful. And crocodiles. So in Mayapur, 500 years ago, there was crocodiles in the Ganges in Mayapur. They said the Lord Nithananda used to ride on the back of the crocodile in Mayapur. Luckily there is no crocodile now because we could take bath. So, and they have dolphins in Mayapur. You see it comes up. So, in Bengalis they eat the fish from the Ganges. They said it's very holy. They said it's the vegetable of the Ganges. But actually, you know, we have to be very respectful to the Ganges. And there's so many stories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who used to play on the bank of the Ganges. And he defeated that, what's his name, that scholar? Keshav Kashmir. That was the bank of the Ganges took place. And he'd go take bath there and he'd have so many leela pastimes. In our time in the 70s, the Ganges was very far from the temple. Where you see today, on the other side of the bank, Ganges were there. If you'd go there, it was erosion. You know what erosion means? The bank was breaking. So it was a very big cliff. We loved it. So we would cut the side, we'd bring kodali. Kodali is what do you call it? Yeah, you break the mud. So we'd make it slide. And we would bring bucket. We'd take the water and slide. We'd slide down. The group of kids were doing, loved it. Now they have it here, you know, they have these waterworks to go through the pipes. We are doing that, and again, just shoo, and come back up, shoo. And then we'd make a hill out of the Ganges, and we call it king fight. We have to climb up the hill, they have to pull you down. You are king for a few minutes because they pull you down. It's very slidey. So we'd get up there in two groups. So we had a lot of fun. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, 500 years ago, he was also, he used to play there in the South Ganges. So just by taking bath in the Ganges, just by being in the water of the Ganges, one can be purified. What to speak of taking birth there? Like I took birth in the side of the Ganges in Santipur. 5 minutes walk from my place is the Ganges. It's very rough. We didn't take. I was learning how to swim in Mayapur, at the Samadhi Pukur. They have a big pukur, big pond in front of Samadhi. They were digging the ground to make a pukur. It was in the middle of nowhere, it was all rice field. So then the water is coming from the ground. They said this is the Ganges water, because Ganges is right there. So that's how I learned how to swim there. So we brought up in the side of the Ganges. We are very lucky. And like it's mentioned here, that devotees, we are not interested in these things. We are interested in performing devotional service. So if you go to the holy dham, your idea is to take bath in the Ganges so you can be purified, so you can serve Krishna. That's all. That is the main point of this. That we should purify ourselves just like we do Achaman. We invite in the Ganges and the holy rivers into the water. So then the water becomes purified, and then you can purify yourself. Buddha Suddhi. Purify your body and your mind like this through the mantras and before you do the deity worship. So I went to places like Russia and all those places. There's no question of Ganges water. The Tulsi doesn't even grow, it's so cold. And a lot of places I went to, they have picture of Tulsi, they go they go around. There's no Tulsi plant, can you imagine? There's no watering. It's all in the mind. So we are so lucky that we can still go to Vrindavan and Mayapur. So when I was in Russia, I remember the devotees were crazy to go to India, because you can't even eat fruits like mangoes and bananas. That's only come from the tropical place. So if you're a very cold place, they don't have these things. And we grew up with these places in India. We are so fortunate. Lord Krishna, Lord Balaram, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nishingade, Lord Ramachandra, they all appeared in all the places we were born. We're so lucky. Yet we are running to go to America here. Well, these are all miniature places. There's nothing great about these places. Very economic development. But we are the most lucky people. And Srila Prabhupada, the only reason he went to America, to give Krishna consciousness. And he brought the Westerners to India, to the Holy Dham. True. So there are, all these rivers, they are personalities. They are spiritual persons. They are divine persons. Ganges came from the heavenly planets. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam that the demigods were pouring water in the heaven. There's a place in the Himalayas, Kailash. You can't go. The depth of the Ganges is so deep. You can't. There's a place called Gomukh. Right? Like a shape of a cow's face. There's a yoga pose called, also Gomukh. It's very difficult to do. You have to take your leg and turn it around your other leg and go like that also and go down. Gomukh. So there's a place called in the Himalayas, Gomukh, where the mouth of the Ganges, the water's coming. Very difficult to get there. You have to only go to these places when the summertime is very cold. They block off the area. So, ice glaciers. And Lord Shiva is up there. And what's his name? Vasudeva up there. And so, already very cold. And Vasudeva, he's inside the tank of the water, freezing cold, doing meditation, austerity. So I was thinking, how can these fish in the pond there? I was just looking at them. They're always in the water. We look at the water, I feel shivering. It's so cold. And they're inside the water swimming around and having a good time. And so Vyasadeva is in the tank of the freezing cold water doing austerity. And Badrinath, in the Himalayas. So I went up to this called four dham, char dham. What are they called? It's Badrinath.
Rameshwar,
no. And the hills.
There.
Yeah. Only in that area, char dham. Badrinath, Haridwar. Kedarnath, and one more, it's four dham. Maybe Rishikesh. These four areas in that Himalaya area. So sometimes devotees, they go there, like in the Dhunamaras, he's always going. He loves experimenting and exploring. So there's a place called Gango. What's that place they get there? Salikram. Gandaki River. So that's all up in the Himalaya. And it's mentioned also, Arjuna, he had to go to meet Lord Shiva to get the Pashupati Astra to fight the Kauravas in the battle of Kurukshetra. So he had to go, and he had to go to Kailash. That's on the Himalayas. So there's a flat plateau, the top of the hill of the Himalaya, where human beings can go, but Arjuna could go. So Arjuna went there with bow and arrow. And it's mentioned to go there, you have to go through big glaciers, ice glaciers. And there is a river full of crocodile. You have to go through that river. If you can make it, then perhaps you can meet Lord Shiva. And Arjuna went there with a bow and arrow. No austerity. He's so strong. He went through the glaciers and he was walking on top of the crocodile. He's so strong. And they were scared of him. They couldn't touch him. And when he got up there, he wanted to meet Lord Shiva, and there's no Lord Shiva around. So he was meditating to find Lord Shiva. And then he saw one hunter. Yeah. And the hunter, and there was a pig.
A deer.
A deer, is it? A deer. And the hunter and Arjuna said, "I'll shoot it." Hunter said, "I'll shoot it before you." Arjuna said, "Who are you?" So they both shot, but the hunter was quicker than Arjuna. And so they said, Arjuna was very angry. He says, we'll have a wrestle. So they went wrestling. In India sometime, if you're strong, you have to defeat each other through physical strength. So they start to have a wrestle. And before you know it, Lord Shiva had Arjuna down underneath him. Because Lord Shiva is very strong. And it's mentioned they were having a wrestle on a hill. Hill is made of rock. So the rock melted and Arjuna was down there in the rock. And Shiva was on top of him, pushing him down. And Arjuna was thinking of Shiva, and he was making a garland in his mind, a beautiful garland to offer to Lord Shiva. And he was getting crushed. Just then, Lord Shiva got up, and he was sitting on the bull with Parvati. And he had that garland on him that Arjuna was making in his mind. So he gave his darshan. So he said, "What do you want? I'll give you." That's how he got the Pashupati. From Lord Shiva. So I'm just saying that area, you know, Himalayas is a very unique area. It's good that human beings kind of get up there, because it's not easy to get up there. It's very, very clean and very pure. And when you see the water of the Ganges in Mayapur, it's very murky and very muddy. That's because it's washing all the banks. But if you go up there in the Badrinath, the water is so clean. You can see there. So when you go to Haridwar, have you been to Haridwar? Yeah. They have, the water is going so fast. So if you fall in, you're finished. It'll wash your body all the way into the... So they have these chains, right? Isn't it? Chains. And have, so you come, and say, Haridwar. The water is like you're in a car, it's going so fast. You're being pushed by the water, and you have to grab the chains. If you miss the chain, there's another chain. But if you miss the older chain, you're out. And the water is so clean and so nice, and you can drink it. So I did a yoga course in Rishikesh in the middle of summer. It's in May, so hot. You know, people, they go to air condition. So I had my feet in the, they have this area, you can put your feet in the water and they have a pishara or something. The water is flowing and it's freezing cold and it's very hot. So it's like amazing. So you feel you're in a five-star hotel. So Krishna created this. So I was sitting there having a mango, because that's a mango season. In Rishikesh, you get beautiful, big, big mangoes. You're eating mangoes and you're doing, and I put your feet in the Ganges. So people go there, you know, they will go to Hawaii, they go to, you know, Gold Coast. You can just go to Rishikesh, Haridwar. And it's so beautiful. All the food you eat there is vegetarian, that area. So I took my students there for 1 month. So I had to eat all these restaurants. And I was eating mangoes and taking bath. And they have a little area where the water's coming. So we jump in and go, and then get out there. Because it's a small area, just an opening to the Ganges, not in the main area. And thousands of fish, because nobody eats fish. There's not allowed to catch fish. They're all there, having a good time. So these are very special places we can go to in India, holy places. India is a very mystical place, I reckon, you know. And even today, there are places it's untouched, where a place Lord Rishingadeva appeared in the south. It's all in the hills, in the forest, deep forest. We can't just go there. They said if you want to go, the Lord Nishinde came out of the pillar. That pillar is there, but that's way in the forest. And if you want to go there, you have to get the local panda. If you go there, the snake will bite you. There's cobras everywhere. So what they do to the pandas, they have a special garland made out of stones. So the snake, they see that, you're wearing that, they don't touch you. Something to do with some story. So they go in the front, and the guide, they go behind him. And the snake comes, they're very expert. They can chop their head with a knife, very quick. So snake don't touch them. So because blood maras was thrown in the pit of the snake, so that area is full of snake. So what I'm saying is, in India is a very unique place, very special place. So Mayapur, you know, when we go to Mayapur today, it's not what you see. It was already there before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. There's a story of how Lord Chaitanya is going to appear millions of years ago. All these places exist because Lord Krishna's pastime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. Well, Krishna jumped after that tree, much before Krishna came. That tree, that Garuda put a nectar under that tree because he knew that Krishna is going to jump from that tree. So that tree can be living right through 5,000 years ago till now, still there. So we are all born in India. Priti Bharat Bhumite Hoyo Manishya Janma Jar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said we are born in India. It's a very unique place. And so we have the same character as God, because we are born in a religion, a religious place. So our purpose is to perform devotional service. We're not interested to even go to the holy dham. Srila Prabhupada's mercy, he has bought these places here. He gave Brahmin initiation to white people. Because white or black, it doesn't matter, we're not this body. So when we are performing devotional service in this kind of places in the Western world, away from the holy dham, away from all these spiritual places, Krishna is there. When they installed Radha Balava here, Prabhupada and Gornita and Jagannath, Prabhupada used to say, now the Lord has come to your place. He has appeared here. He used to say like that. So the Lord appeared here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before that, there was no Krishna consciousness in the foreign country. But Prabhupada took it to the next level. He is most merciful. And he brought Krishna consciousness all over the world. Every corner, there is Pritibhiti Achyatata Nagaradigram. There is Krishna consciousness in every corner of the villages in the world. That's the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's fulfilled by Srila Prabhupada. By His mercy, we have all these places. This is like the holy place. I'm not crazy to go to the dham, because this is like a dham also. Of course, you have to live in five places. Visit five times, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, associate with devotees, go to the holy dham, chanting 60 rounds. Five processes of devotional service. So, I reckon we're living in the temple, like you all living in ashram, we are coming here doing your services, we are living in our... No, I live at home, but my service is here. Our service is here. This is our home. We just go there to sleep. The real home is here. So our home, like this Prabhu here, Jayaraman Prabhu, he lives very far, near the airport. I went to your place. Took ages to get here. And even for Mangalarati, what time you get up?
3 o'clock.
Every day you are here. I remember I've been here 5 years, I see here every day. Somebody was saying, this guy is here every day. He must be living near. And people are living near, they're not here. And you're coming from so far. It's, I'm just saying this, but Krishna is watching. Krishna is watching us. He's on the altar. He's never gone. He's always here. Some people say, I haven't been overseas, it's locked down. What about Radha Vallabha? They are stuck on the altar. They're locked down in this temple room. But because he loves the devotees here, he's accepting your offering, our food. But not that they're locked down, they're everywhere in our heart. But they appear here to give their mercy. Similarly, Ganges, they appear to these places. They come down to this earth from the spiritual world to bless us, to purify our soul. So we can throw our ashes, forefathers, in the Ganges, and we ourselves take bath there, purify ourselves. So Krishna appears, Ganges appear, he appeared, devotees appear here by their mercy to bless us for the fallen conditioned souls, like you say in the morning. There are 10 offenses, we say, and then at the end we say, all fallen conditioned souls. So we are those fallen conditioned souls. And how lucky we are, because now we can take the bath in the Ganges. We take bath in this ocean here. What's this ocean called?
Indian Ocean,
whatever. I think the Ganges, ultimately they flow into the ocean. So the ocean is connected to the Ganges. So when I take the bath, you think I'm taking bath in the Ganges. You gotta be very Krishna conscious. If you're not, you're not gonna be Krishna conscious. We are living in these places, where is the holy dham? But you have to always think yourself, I'm in the dham, because I'm in the temple. That's how Krishna consciousness means. Wherever we are, we have to compare ourselves that we are Krishna conscious. This is the attitude of a devotee. It's not that everyone's going to be in the dham. You're from Nepal, you're from somewhere in the south. You're always here. How are we going to go to those places? But we have to, wherever we are, we have to make that place a Krishna conscious place. And your mind and consciousness, you have to be filled up with Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any questions? It was a big trip for me to get here this morning. Because from my place where I live, like a few minutes from my place, the first bus is 6 o'clock. And I'm giving class. If I took that bus, I'll be here 8 o'clock, nearly. So then I had to make a plan. I didn't stay here last night. So from my place, 20 minutes walk to the train station. And they have a train that leaves. First train is 5:15 in the morning. If I took that train, I could be here 6:30. But then I had to walk 20 minutes. I was thinking, I need exercise anyway. I walked, so to get up 4:30, I got here. So I'm thinking I'm going to do now more often. I get here this time. And when you get to the Flinders Street, the train station, the train doesn't go to Southern Cross to take number 12
here.
So then you have to go to Flinders Station to go to Southern Cross to take number 12. And there is number 1 from Flinders Street that comes here. But they broke all the line, Flinders Street. There's news, something. So there's not going to be. So I have to, big drama, I have to get up Melbourne Central and then take another train, just tram to come to Collins Street, take number 12 from there. And then number 12 wasn't coming till 16 minutes. So I walked all the way to, I took another tram to Southern Cross, then walked from there to Batman's Park. By that time it was 5 minutes that 12 came, and the guy was driving very, very slow, wake up in the morning, so damn slow. So I walked over to him, the driver. I said, "Can you drive a little bit faster?" Yeah, I mean, he was still waking up, right? He said, okay. And he was hitting the brake. So I got here quite late. It's a big drama. So what I'm saying is, serve Krishna, there's an effort you have to make. It's not that, we go to the kitchen, cook, somebody has to bring the boga, manage the kitchen, clean the place, somebody has to grow the food. A lot of effort before you get food on your table, isn't it? We're thinking, very nice, thank you for cooking. So much effort is there before the food comes on the table. So you have to put in effort to make Krishna consciousness. Everything needs effort. It's not just it comes. You come to this temple, very nice and clean. Somebody is doing the puja, dressing, offering the. There's organization here. It's not that you're just all going on by accident. Everything, there must be effort. That effort is bhakti. Devotional service mentioned here. What does it mean? Devotional service means you have to do effort, you have to do service. Not just khana khana. There's everything. Prasadam, that's it. I've seen some of this, like this, Mataji, this, and some of you guys. I hardly see you in the kitchen. In this prasadam, you don't even come because you're detached. You're doing service. You're busy doing service. Isn't it? And others, I always see, every time this is, they're ready. So, and you always come. I don't think I'm not observing. I'm observing. So I see, you always come at the end, what's left, you just take a little bit. So, you're doing busy serving Krishna. The 6 Goswamis, they were so busy serving Krishna, they forgot to eat, mentioned. That's how our attitude should be serving Krishna. So we have to make an effort. You come from far away, you're going to see Bhagavan. By His mercy, we can move our body. By His mercy. He can take your body away anytime. He gets sick, coronavirus, that's it. So we have to always see ourselves. We are so lucky that we are able to serve Krishna. And so, you've got to make effort. That is bhakti. Devotional service. It's not, I talk devotion and there's no service. It goes together. Devotional service. I talk all these things, but I also have to do service. Not otherwise lip service. Isn't it? His philosophy becomes dry. There's no devotional service, it's not dynamic. He's just talking. PhD talk. I can study and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, one Brahmana came and said, "I'm a Brahmana, I don't do." He told him, "You clean all these dishes." He said, "No, I'm Brahmana, I only study." And he showed him the door. "This place is not for you." You want to purify, you have to do service. Hard work. Clean the dishes. Everyone here works very hard. That's why you sleep in the class, because you're working so hard. But that's similarly. The Prabhupada never chastised the devotees asleep in the class. They said they work so hard, leave them alone. But he has a transcendental. But nowadays we are working less, more sleep. But I won't say much. We follow the example of Prabhupada. They leave them alone. But if you are doing too much sleep, less work, then maybe we have to say something. Somebody has to say. So, this mention here, that devotees, the rishis and the sages, they are not They're meditating. He said, I want to meditate, but I don't have to do work. But these people are meditating, they give up eating anything. They have the Ganges water in their head. Meditating in water. Can you do it? If you can do it, then you can do it. One Prabhu, he said, oh, Prabhupada, I want to be a Babaji. Prabhupada said, you cannot be a Babaji. He said, please bless me. But Prabhupada already told him, he's his disciple. So he didn't listen to Prabhupada. So he made a hut in Mayapur, in our property area. He made a hut and he was doing bhajan kutir. After some time he gave up, he went to America and went to sense gratification. So you have to, if you want to please Krishna, we have to follow the orders of the Guru. Guru Sadhu Sastra. Hard work, devotional service. You see our movement today, we have, because those devotees, the handful of devotees, they work so hard. They are pioneers of Krishna consciousness. That's why we have this ISKCON today. You can chant nicely, take nice pusharam, be peaceful and relax, because those devotees work very hard. That's why we have these temples today. So we have to follow their example. Work very hard. What's life? We're not going to be here forever. Work. Die in the kirtan, in the kirtan, in the kitchen. I haven't heard anyone die in the kirtan. But they didn't dance enough. Because as soon as the body is hurting, they stop. I'm still going, even if it's hurting, so what? I didn't die. I died from cancer, I died from diseases. They didn't die from kirtan, overly chanting. Krishna didn't kill us. We kill ourselves from our own problem. We have problem because we brought it with us before we became a devotee. It's not Krishna's fault. Isn't it? We have so much pusharam, we eat the pusharam. But I haven't heard anyone dying from it. We just put on weight. Because he was so skinny before. He had nothing to eat, he was eating just burgers. He's eating so much pusharam. And he's getting weight. That's bhakti growing on your body. I reckon. So, of course, chanting, dancing, this also put on weight on the soul. Spiritual advancement. So you have to see things in a very Krishna conscious way. Yeah, Hare Krishna. I can't just say just Ganges, Ganges. You have to also encourage each other to, you know, practical topics of Krishna consciousness. Okay, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.